It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Okay, it is Dom time, and I'll play you a little bit more. It's every second more breaking on this Minnesota scandal, and progressives saying, why is this fraud something that you're paying attention to? Tim Walz talking about white supremacy. Of course. Bottom line is, if people do not go to jail, and I'm talking somebody elected or at least get indicted, this sours people that nothing ever happens when all this is exposed, and round we go. All right, I mentioned Dr. Oz, and this from NJ.com. New Jersey Medicare patients will be part of a grand experiment that tests the capabilities of using artificial intelligence to decide which medical procedures should be covered by insurance. The pilot program starts January 1 and will run through December 31st. It's being implemented in six states: Jersey, Ohio, Oklahoma, Texas, Arizona, Washington. Announced by Robert Kennedy in June, and people didn't pay attention to it. It's described as a health insurance breakthrough designed to root out waste and fraud. And again, AI will be involved in the process of determining and spitting out an answer what procedure you should get. Now, look, there's tremendous amount of waste, fraud, and all the rest of it. But the last couple of days, I've read end-of-the-year stuff that AI is widely unpopular. I don't know about widely, but I believe AI is unpopular. And the question was, which party is going to glom onto that? And there are several aspects of this. This is a big story. Look, I don't like Time Magazine chickening out and picking that. They should have picked Charlie Kirk on the cover of Time Magazine as the story of the year. But the AI thing is big and coming to a head. And I read a piece saying, if this were a football game and AI's the football game, we're ahead of the Chinese, but that can turn any day in any way, shape, or form by developments. Which party is going to claim this? Now, I hope the Republicans, the red state level, say no. We want to state by state, that's where this should be, pass our laws that deal with AI. The Trump administration saying, no, this has to be at the federal level. We don't trust the states. I don't trust the federal level. You got a bunch of people that are going to make billions and billions and billions of dollars, and they don't seem to be that concerned about guardrails for AI, even right now. And just instinctually, I'm against, you know, this gets back to simple things. Analytics in sports. Yeah, there's a place for it. But what about the human element of making decisions here? Gut instincts, vast experience, the eye test. Well, then when you apply it to this, we're talking doctors. So I hope to get Dr. Oz on in the very near future to talk about this. Now, I don't know if they're going to say, well, that's it. AI has said you don't get this procedure, you get that procedure. And I only saw this story today. It's been buried since June. God, we know about waste and fraud. Go after the people that are doing it. Put hundreds of them in jail. Go after the politicians. But to cut down on waste and fraud, we are going to be allowing AI to be the decision maker. At least on paper, it appears to be that. My goodness. Imagine, yeah, you get no operation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like it because it takes intuition out of it.
Exactly.
Like Malcolm Gladwell's book, Blink. Like, there's like one of the first early on chapters, that might be the first chapter, is when You know, like a guy who values art, he's in a museum and he looks at a piece and he goes, this is a fake.
Right.
And the curator goes, no, it's not. It's not a fake. We've had this validated by, you know, many other, you know, experts in the field. This is a fake. And he goes, no, it's a fake. And they go, well, how do you know? And he goes, well, I can't really tell, but I can tell you that's a fake. And lo and behold, they do more testing on it. Mm-hmm. And they go, oh, my gosh, this is a fake. We've been displaying this fake in whatever big museum for however long. And it took till this guy to figure it out. And that's what you're stepping away from when you let a machine do this job.
Well, right. And we're doing it with health here, life and death.
Right. Yeah. And think about doctors and their intuition when they go, gosh, what is wrong with this person? Well, and then they have a gut feeling and they go with it.
I don't know why this story just, and it only caught my attention because of the texting with Dr. Oz. I didn't ask him about this yet, but that's what I want to talk with. Dr. Oz, come on now, you know, ultimate physician, and you want AI to be saying this? Suppose you differ. Well, AI's got to be growing, you know. One party is going to get this. AI is not popular. Despite every egghead and every, to Henry's points and all, this stuff is not popular. I know in the back of my mind, they keep the fear of the Chinese. And they're going to get it, and they're going to do this, that. I get that. But a large part of me says, really? Medical decisions? Isn't there a zone where we have to move forward with AI to blunt the Chinese? But it's not. You get a cancer treatment and you don't. Is that going to help us beat the Chinese? I don't think so. Not at all. The Wall Street Journal did a thing with AI running the vending machine in their building, or vending machines. And it ended up, they lost like $1 million in a month. They were wanting to arm the vending machine by all these things that came in. That's what they would do. That's what the machine's going to do.
Yeah, because it would ask for feedback and things like that. And it was a free market system, so this thing just ordered whatever it wanted, and people were like,
exactly.
All right, cool.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. All right, one other thing, too, since I mentioned Jersey there. Let's have a little bit of fun with this. Look, Mikey Sherrill is going to be a disaster, and she might be a bigger disaster in the end, in real terms, because she's more buttoned up than Phil Murphy. But Phil Murphy has rubbed us the wrong way, Phil Murphy and the wife, etc. And, you know, what else are we to resort to? The hair, the teeth, unfair, of course. No, not really. Not given this guy his arrogance, his complete lack of feel for New Jersey. So the clock is ticking. We're not going to have Phil Murphy to kick around anymore. He is going to run for president, I would predict, with hopes it'll be Secretary of State, something like that. Can you imagine? How in the world did Jersey elect Phil Murphy? Well, I would say Phil Murphy, better personality, I know this is hard to believe, than Corzine. It's a Goldman Sachs thing. They're both Goldman Sachs guys, and Murphy, I think, was a little bit richer. Both got elected. Corzine, so bad, he got defeated by Christie, going for his second term. Phil Murphy got two terms. Again, Jersey and progressivism. But how was that the Democrat that came out of this? How Phil Murphy? And look at the stuff that he was involved in day to day over the course of those 8 years. Immediately when he got into office, agitating to raise the sales tax back up again after Christie made this stupid deal. Well, you can raise the gas tax, but you can't raise the sales tax. Then the illegal immigration issue. Then Murphy with the whales, that's one where we beat him big time. We actually stopped him in billions of dollars. That's probably the biggest defeat we put on Phil Murphy. The eating pizza the wrong way stuff. What was the one that Matt Rooney had up pinned to his Twitter for a while? Trying to remember the phony thing he engaged in. And just it goes on and on and on in New Jersey. And I think I'm going to say tomorrow when we're looking predictions, the biggest story here locally that gets people inflamed, I've noticed over the last couple of months, at least in Jersey, is the idea this 1975 thing is kicking in And New Jersey towns are going to have to decide, are they going to fight it, as Jack Ciattarelli would have, or are developers going to come in, you know the stats, Medford, for example, to make 171 affordable, so-called affordable homes, they're going to have to build 800 to subsidize. Where in the world are you putting 800 more homes and all the infrastructure? Someone sent me over the weekend something in Marlton, where it's a similar situation going on. And each one of these towns are facing it. Yet they voted for Mikey Sherrill. Were they completely unaware of this? Why do this? And what's going to happen the first day when she so-called puts a halt, a pause on your electricity rates and the like? We're going to see. I think her attorney general is going to go after price controls, which will be a disaster. But I don't sense the antagonism. I think Matt has it, I notice, you know, because of the helicopter constantly, and I'm a mom and all that stuff that she ran on. But Phil Murphy, just the eye test that we're just talking about. Phil Murphy, I remember when he had on a fancy suit. This was in the first week, and $600 sneakers with it. And it's just like, no, they don't go with the suit. Nope. You're not a fashion plate, Phil. And then Miss Kim and the hair, when it looked like he run for president, and always the teeth. Are those unfair? Not with a guy like Murphy. I mean, it's just an all out. How is it, though, that guy, out of all the progressives in Jersey, ended up being the guy for 8 years? To me, he's not nearly as infuriating, though, as the big guy, the menace. And that's Josh Shapiro. I don't remember Murphy saying, well, my son questioned me on capital punishment, and now I'm against it. I don't think Phil Murphy even did that. In the end, he's not a menace. He's more annoying than anything. Josh Shapiro is both annoying and a big-time menace, huge menace. And just the other day, he had his people sue to say, we're going to continue to mutilate kids. That's the headline. Meaning, yeah, we're still going to use that taxpayer money for so-called gender-affirming surgeries and all the rest of it. So 8 years of Phil Murphy. What is it you remember the most? And again, I just thought during the campaign, Mikey Sherrill was tepid. More than anything, I'm still in shock. And I come back to my theory, and that's why the midterms give me pause, that you are going to see they are enraged to tear apart Trump. They came out in droves. It was a vote against Trump, and the Trump people didn't come out. I don't buy the affordability was the overriding issue. It was just Trump hatred. Affordability, she did a good job with the media of making people believe she could just wave a magic wand on the first day, and it's going to stop. And by the way, do you see where Mondami, who's my big hope to help us win the midterms, he's going to be sworn in. Bernie Sanders does a swearing in. AOC's the feature. Underneath the abandoned subway that's under New York City Hall, the abandoned subway stop. What would be a place where this probable communist should be sworn in? I think they should replicate a bread line at one of those public supermarkets he talks about, where you would have 1,000 people or more saying, yeah, I hope to get some potatoes today. That would be fitting. But this guy is going to be one, two, or three, the biggest story out there this year. And we're going to see. Does he get blunted from doing what he wants to do? I hope he doesn't, because then we're going to see the repercussions of it big time. He is incredibly popular in New York, particularly young single women voters. We're going to see what they voted for really quickly. All right, let me go to Jesse in Drexel Hill on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Jesse, welcome in.
Hey, Dom, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, what's French to me is Edith P. Piaf singing La Vie en Rose, which is the quintessential French cafe song, and she owns that song the way Sinatra owns My Way. Nobody has ever sung it like her. And you listen to that song and you almost feel like you're in a French cafe smoking a Gauloise or whatever, you know.
Is that the song they played during Saving Private Ryan when they were holed up in the town waiting for the attack?
God, I'm not sure. It's the song that they play when they want to talk. Yeah.
Yeah, it might be. That's a good one. Thank you, Jesse. Boy, we got a lot of static coming through here today. Is it windy out there or something?
Yeah, I think it's just our phones.
Yeah. I think that's the song they played in Saving Private Ryan. It all sounds as though, yep, I can hear it in the background. Sounds it to me like when they're getting ready for the attack. They just happen to have a recorder and electricity. Somehow or another, things work.
Yeah.
How is there electricity for that again?
I don't know. It's the one building or something.
Yeah.
I forget. I have to rewatch the
movie. All right, 855-839-1210. You get on board. Hit us with something French, person, place, thing, real or fictional. There's a million of them. No prize today on the side question, but we'll give our opinion at the end. Coming off Brigitte Bardot passing away at the age of 91, film star and then animal rights activist extraordinaire, an all-time name. Not a Gina Loa Brigida. That is the all-time name. But Brigitte Bardot, I don't know. I don't think that was her real name. I think it was, you know, Hollywood or France, French Hollywood. But, yeah, definitely big time. It's 855-839-1210. You can get on board. And this Phil Murphy stuff, even if you're not in Jersey, what is it that really rubbed people the wrong way with this guy? Christie rubbed us the wrong way. I mean, what is it with Jersey governors? Corzine was abysmal. I give Corzine credit, Henry, for one thing. He actually put up a, rented up the flagpole to see if people would be in favor of pumping your own gas. Oh, man, when word got out, I mean, he just did whatever he wanted. When it got out, he just denied any of that, what they were saying about it. One of these days, I'm going to be able to pump my own gas in Jersey. The arguments are so flimsy. I can't even go through them. They're just ridiculous. I get it. You're used to it. You know, it's like taking on, like, I like Olive Garden for lunch. Same thing.
Yeah.
Kill me. Unpopular. 855-839-1210.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
All right, Dom Giordano Show. Welcome in. 855-839-1210, AT&T and Verizon Wireless, push pound 1210. Something French. And I did take French, was it 3 years in high school? and one in college. I'm trying to remember. And I think I was deficient both in the accent and the content. Henry, did you take French? Or
no,
did you take-
I had to take, according to my parents, I had to take a language that people actually speak.
So Spanish.
Spanish, yeah.
I think it would be valuable to take Spanish, too.
I wanted to take Latin.
All right,
I wasn't allowed.
Okay. And the kids that took German, oh, my God, just brutal language.
Yeah, have fun with that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Newman Price to the rescue. And I think Linda would concur with this. Newman Price, our buddy at friendsof1210.com. I give him, go right ahead, the Elvis Frank Sinatra poll. We just have to work out the wording of it. Who do you prefer? Is that it? Who's better? I ask Linda, any wording she wants, she's probably listening, just let us know. And we'll get Newman Price. I predict a landslide for Sinatra, like 65-35, something like that.
No, it's got to be closer than that. I'd say within five points? 5 percentage points.
I don't think so. This is, Linda can't change the demographic. This area is very biased towards Sinatra. I mean, this is the place.
Yeah, I would think.
How many years is it? With Sid's son and Sid,
true.
1955 until today. Wow, that's 45. It's 71 years of a Sinatra show. Yeah, Linda, that's big trouble. All right, let's do it, Newman. Linda can come up with a wording.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let me know, Linda.
Linda, let us know if you think who's better in any way that you want. It would be fun. We'll let it go until tomorrow. Henry, I may have overshot there. I'd say a 10% win for Sinatra, at least.
Yeah, I'd say it's got to be within that.
And it's only one vote per person. He did a great job during the caller of the year. Why didn't we take this one off? I see a good one from Karen in North Carolina, an excellent one. By the way, Joe McShane on Twitter, no, not on Twitter, just emailing me. It's going with every syllable. Brigitte Bardot apparently was her real name. His contribution, something French, Charlemagne. You don't run into, I know, the host, but I mean, you don't run, that's why he took the name. I don't think that's his real name. Charlemagne is a great all-time name, though. Roman Empire. I think that was quite a period of time that they ran things. Let me go to Karen, though. I want to get this one out there. It's a pretty good one. We even use it today. It was used, by the way, Karl Rove attacking Trump, saying Trump is turning people off because he's acting like this person who's French. Let's go to Karen in North Carolina. Karen, Happy New Year. What do you have today?
Happy New Year to you. First of all, I want to say I finally caught my breath after the Eagles game, but that's another story.
Yeah.
There's a lot of us down here. Believe me, there's a lot of ex-Philadelphia Pats.
Okay.
Who love the Eagles down here. But my French person is Marie Antoinette because she represents just the arrogance, honestly, of what we've come to think of with a lot of the French folks and, you know, let them eat cake and all
oh,
that.
Oh, no, she is. Now imagine, what is that, like 500 years ago or is it even more? And yet, when we want to say, Karl Rove said, Trump is acting like Marie Antoinette to his base, that's who we still use today, 500 years.
Yeah, as a symbol of arrogance. And it couldn't be more off base because Trump is doing more for, you know, folks that are struggling. I mean, right now, I'm just thrilled he's doing something about prescription drugs for those of us on fixed incomes. So, you know, yeah, just to that's ridiculous of Rove to go there.
Marie Antoinette's a great one, though. That's what you got to watch out for on the affordability thing, though. Who seems like Marie Antoinette, taking people for granted, not understanding their pain. Now, Leona Helmsley, yeah, that's dime store stuff in comparison to Marie Antoinette. I think that's still the person referenced when you want to talk about, not understanding struggles of people, not understanding what's going on. The let them eat cake is not as bad necessarily as it sounds. But and the guillotine was supposed to be a more humane form of execution. apparently some people would beg to differ with that.
Didn't they just outlaw that too in France?
I think. I read within the last 10 years or 8 years, something like
that's
that.
That's crazy.
I don't think they were using capital punishment, but if they were, they might be. Yeah, give me the guillotine. And in the French Revolution, captured, I think, not in those musicals, but captured by the Batman thing, the sequence they used, that was really well done. Yeah, I mean, they just evolved into making it up as you go along.
Yeah, definitely.
But all-time great name, Robespierre. And occasionally there's a Robespierre that you see. Well, we have one that calls and identifies as Robespierre. Yes. Now, that's French. Charlemagne's a good one, though. 855-839-1210. I am not a fan of French food, though. Put that on the record. And another thing, the media, such copycats. They're all about today. I've seen it in five places. The Inquirer's got one up. They put a little spin on it. No, red wine is not better for you than white wine. Yeah, buddy, I'm sticking with the red wine. Come on. The white wine, I got a free bottle from Channel 6, and I still haven't touched a drop, but it was a nice gift for the inside story, but the white wine. We don't have anything else in it. It's a foot of snow. I'm still not drinking the white wine.
Oh, man.
That's it. You're a fan of white wine?
I'm just kind of getting into wine. Okay. I'm on the whites. The reds are a little too much for me at this point. I'm sure I'll come around to it eventually on some, a good red wine I like a lot. I just don't think I've had a lot of it.
I'm going to have Newman Price put the white wine, red wine up. I think that's an 80-20 issue.
Yeah, I don't expect to win that one.
Yeah, with this audience, men in women's sports or red versus white wine, it's going to be a tight race.
But there is something about the red wine having some sort of health benefit.
Yes,
like that's something I've heard my whole life.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, we'll have to ask AI that or Dr. Oz. If I get Dr. Oz on this AI thing, look, Tom, I didn't approve that. Don't put my name on that. No, he sent me a nice text talking about how much you're going to develop rural health, and he's on top of that, how much the job is even more impactful than he thought. He is right in the center of the action. Oh, boy. Patriots wide receiver Stephon Diggs charged with strangulation and assault. I follow the quarterback, but Henry, is Diggs even start at this point? I don't know.
Yeah, he's their top wide receiver.
Okay. Well, are they going to play him now?
I'd like to see more come out about this issue, but it doesn't look good. I don't think the NFL will let him play.
It will be interesting. It'll test my theory. If you are a criminal, they'll find some way to say, "Well, you did your time," or whatever. Michael Vick.
Yeah, it's like, oh, they got the one seed. They got something to play for here. He can't be going away now. Can we defer it to,
or is this
past February?
Is this the one area, though, domestic assault, strangulation, where they can't get away with it?
It might be. It's coming out now.
Apparently has been bubbling for a while. It was just announced and all, but I thought there was some backstory going on there. So you haven't seen anything from the Patriots, right?
Well, no, I think mum's going to be the word with them.
All right, if they want to do it and say, look, it's the playoffs or something, even though they can't use that language, just don't lecture me about everybody has a right, innocent until proven guilty. Just don't lecture me about that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see what's the NFL done before on these things. I'm not sure.
There have been domestic I guess they've suspended players, but then, they obviously bring them back. So I'd like to see what kind of suspension they hand down here, whether it's like, you can't play week 18, which is going to be, a meaningless game for the Patriots.
They said 1 week.
That'd be the ultimate cop-out for them.
I mean, I can make the case he hasn't been convicted of anything.
He hasn't, no. And the timing of this is kind of suspect, where it's like, it's probably bad enough that it couldn't be kept under wraps anymore. But it's also timing, you're kind of screwing Stephon when you do that. Not that he shouldn't be screwed.
It's probably coming down in the district where the Patriots are, right? I mean, that's where the alleged crime happened. So I don't think they would want to drop it now in order to, if anything, they would sit on it and do it after the playoffs.
That's what I think is going to happen. But, the timing of this is...
Well, they indicted him.
Oh, I didn't realize they indicted him.
Well, Google, just let's be sure. That's what Fox was reporting, though. And if that's the case, I mean, he seems to be a distracted or troubled guy, but
he's a wide receiver. He's a typical diva wide receiver. He thinks he's all that. Yeah. He's with all these women, including Cardi B.
Okay. Yeah. So there's been, you know, some scent of this. It seems to me, though, that he is, when right, a top 10 wide receiver easily, probably. So this is a major, and the Patriots are looking good. I just always want to see the NFL weasels have to stew in what they've created here. So, yeah, I get the innocent until proven guilty, but I get their glomming on to the issue of domestic violence and all that stuff as a PR move. So what do you do? And it depends upon the evidence that's released. I don't know if they're going to release that, but strangulation, et cetera. There's got to be a document that says why they're indicting him specifically. All right, 855-839-1210. Again, if you want to let him play, then shut up in the future about stuff like this. Women not being listened to and all that. But he's not been convicted of anything. It will be very interesting to see what they do. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. Hit us with somebody or something. It's all-time French. By the way, on this day of the big story continues to be the Somali fraud thing, and I'll play you a little bit more of that. And John Yoo, I'm way over time. My fault. All right, quick break. John Yoo is next here. I forgot that. Late addition to the show. He's got a lot to say about the Supreme Court and President Trump. He's next on Talk Radio 1210.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
All right, big issues, big guests, even during the holidays. Native Philadelphian extraordinaire. John Yoo is the Emanuel Heller Professor of Law, University of California at Berkeley, visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, and a visiting fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford, and an Eagles, Phillies fan, I think more of a Phillies fan. But he has been out there, on, you know, just as we took the Christmas break, the Supreme Court, did they box President Trump in when it came to presidential power to send in the National Guard to, I don't know, places like Chicago? John joins us here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, John, Happy New Year. Thanks for joining us.
Happy New Year to you, too. It's great to be with you. My Eagles fandom is on the rise again, because when they win 13-12, I respect that. I respect that.
You seem more of a baseball guy, though. That's my legal opinion here.
Yeah, I do love the Phillies.
Yeah, I know.
I love the Phillies.
So, John, you're one of the few people analyzing this correctly, if I might say so, as a law school dropout from Rutgers, that the president, the Supreme Court, appears to be saying in some weird way, has the right to send in the entire U.S. military to Chicago. And if that failed, maybe then he could send in the National Guard.
Yeah, I actually think the court got this wrong and they've misread the law. But that is, as you say, the outcome. What they said is that you can't send in the National Guard into a city to restore order or to enforce federal law unless the president has already tried with what the law calls, quote unquote, the regular forces of the United States. Supreme Court has never interpreted this before, and basically no courts had until the last year. And for some reason, the Supreme Court said regular forces means the armed forces of the United States. Because President Trump had, I think, reasonably argued, look, I've tried to enforce the law with ICE, and in LA, in Chicago, Portland, they're getting attacked. And there are people who are trying to stop them from leaving the federal building. And there are people who are trying to prevent them from enforcing immigration law, which, by the way, President Trump didn't make up. Congress passed. We elected members of Congress. They passed immigration law. President Trump's carrying it out. So the court, though, said, no, you have to try with the regular armed forces first. And if they fail, then you can send in the National Guard. This makes no sense, because now what President Trump has to do is send the 82nd Airborne or the 101st Airborne, right? The people who, you know, survived Bastogne, and now they're going to have to go into Chicago. And only if they fail, then you can send in the National Guard. That doesn't make much sense, but that's what the Supreme Court has said.
Yeah, and it seems to me we know we don't want the military going in there. They have a different mission. The National Guard has been used because they do other things, and they back up the police, etc. It seemed to be a sensible agreement with the way the National Guard operates versus the U.S. Marines. The only time I remember the 82nd Airborne, something like that, was probably in Little Rock to bring the little girls and seven into school. And that was necessary because the Southern governors wouldn't budge with the National Guard.
Right. You know your history well. There's the only other recent example, I think, is in L.A. after the Rodney King riots.
Yes.
When we really had the collapse of law and order in many parts, many blocks of downtown Los Angeles. But you're right. No, the real example would be where you had a governor who might have been using their own control over the National Guard units in their state to, as you said, after Brown versus Board of Education, try to prevent desegregation. And then President Eisenhower sent in troops there. But the problem is, and this is the fundamental problem that I think you just mentioned, is we want our military to be trained to kill the enemy. That's their main goal. We don't want them to be trained to be police officers. National Guard units have more of that capability because they're, most of the time, they're like in Pennsylvania, they're Pennsylvania National Guard, and they help out with disaster relief. They help out in, you know, getting food to people if things have broken, you know, systems are broken down or people are trapped. So they have more of not just the war fighting function, but also, you know, civil order function. But we don't want the Marines. We don't want the 82nd Airborne, 101st patrolling downtown Chicago.
God. Yeah. John, an out of the box question. In coming days, now I think I'm going back in my mind, he's the only Supreme Court sitting justice that I think I've interviewed, and it was seven times. And the reason is my admiration, doggedness, and he's a Phillies fan like you. And that would be a Justice Sammy Alito. I call him Sammy, you know, out of endearment. And the fact that President Bush came to his senses and put a giant on the court versus where he was looking. But there are talks, if he wants his legacy, and he's got some of the biggest, that he should retire in 2026 to give President Trump the ability to put in someone to protect that. Have you heard about, he's only 75 and he's a very active, he's the engine of the Supreme Court, in my mind at this point. What are your thoughts?
Well, I hope he doesn't retire. I think he is youthful. I saw him in Washington in November at a function, and he seemed in perfectly good health to me. And as you say, you know, South Jersey doesn't have a lot of things. Somehow they got a justice of the Supreme Court. I don't know why they deserve it. But, you know, we should let people from Jersey have something every now and then. But, you know, he's a loyal Phillies and Eagles fan because he does live in South Jersey and didn't make the mistake of living in North Jersey, which is even worse. So I think, though, if you look at the lineup, the reason people are speculating about this in Washington is because of the coming midterm elections. And if there were a possibility that the Republicans are going to lose the Senate in those midterm elections, then if Justice Alito or any conservative justice wanted to retire in a situation where you have a conservative president and a conservative Senate that would confirm him or her, you only have till November. So, because then you're taking your chances, and you don't want to be like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who everyone said waited because she thought Hillary Clinton was going to win the election, and then delayed her retirement, and then guess what? President Trump won, and then he got to pick her successor.
Yeah, absolutely. So, John, with that in mind, with the Supreme Court and the consequences this year, the argument is the Supreme Court has bent over backwards for President Trump. I don't share that. And this is them striking back. The thing I'm interested in with you, your sense of it for listeners, layman's terms, Amy Coney Barrett, I think, is a brilliant person to be on the court. But it seems to me she wants to be allied with Justice Roberts more so than where I thought she might go. I'm a fan of Gorsuch. Kavanaugh, I don't see a whole lot. You know, I'm a law school dropout. You're a guy that would have more perspective. So how do you see the Supreme Court in this charge? They're just letting Trump do what he wants.
You know, don't give me this law school dropout business. I know you watch the court pretty well, and you have a lot of what many law school graduates don't have, which is common sense. Which is way more important than graduating from law school. Although,
did I tell you I won moot court at Rutgers, though? I always bring that up. You know, I love doing that.
Although, you know, all of us Eagles and Phillies fans, you could say a lot of us are insane somehow. Yeah. So maybe none of us have common sense. But what I would say is actually the justice who's closest to Chief Justice Roberts, who definitely, you know, charts a more middle course than Gorsuch and Thomas and Alito, that's Brett Kavanaugh. He tends to vote a lot with Chief Justice Roberts. And so I think the jury's still out on Justice Barrett. I do have to say she has voted consistently on the conservative side on every important issue, whether it's nationwide injunctions or the Harvard use of race and emissions, or the most important case, overruling Roe versus Wade. I haven't detected any sign that she's, you know, moving to the middle to join Chief Justice Roberts yet on anything important.
Okay.
A lot of these cases you and I have been talking about are what you could call skirmishes. They're preliminary cases where there are people going to the Supreme Court in emergencies, and the real merits, you know, the real full-blown oral arguments and full decisions are yet to come. And when those yet to come has come, she actually tends to vote, I think, with the conservatives. So I'm not as worried about her. But I've seen Kavanaugh move more to the middle with Chief Justice Roberts. And we may see that, I think, in two cases that President Trump just sounds like he might lose, which is the tariff case from the oral argument. It sounds like Kavanaugh and Roberts were not very impressed with the Trump administration's arguments. And maybe the birthright citizenship case.
That is a biggie. I'd be astounded if the court, John, goes on that, just because, I guess, commonsensically, again, it seems to be settled in my mind. I don't think the Constitution meant what we're seeing now, but I think that seems to be settled. So, John, looking forward, is the big case this year the case involving these minority districts and how the Voting Rights Act and law is settled around this? It might mean, I don't know, 6 to 8 to 10 congressional seats would be opened up, and that would make a huge difference in the balance of power. Is that the big case the court will decide, or is there something else?
No, that's one of the most important cases. You're right to point to it, politically important. But also, this is one where Chief Justice Roberts has been quite steadfastly conservative. He has always voted to end the use of race, which I think the Constitution and our morals should prohibit. And he has said repeatedly and questioned the use of the Voting Rights Act to draw districts because of race. And so, as you say, there's a case teed up. It's already been argued. It'll probably come out by the summer that questions considering people's race when districts are drawn. The other important case, really politically important for President Trump, is whether he can fire any member of the executive branch. And there's a case involving not just these commissions, like the FTC, SEC, all these commissions you hear about. I think he's going to win that. But there's another case where he can fire governors of the Federal Reserve Bank.
Yes.
And that one is really important because you could see the markets reacting to that. But also, I think it would be an important constitutional principle that Congress cannot try to render parts of the executive branch outside President Trump's control. Because if they could do that, then they could really handicap President Trump's ability to carry out the law and perform his constitutional duties.
John, thank you so much for a great year. Are we going to see you in Philadelphia in 2026?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I try to sneak in and out before my enemies can find out.
Yeah,
I'm
well,
there.
We want you
but
in studio. I'll meet
you
in person.
You want to take me to a Phillies game, I'll be there.
Just let us know when you're coming. We can get a nice, a really nice seat. I mean, they're on the station. Big time.
Oh, all right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're big Phillies. Yeah, without a doubt. John, thank you. Have a great new year. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you
always.
Too. Happy New Year.
Thank
always
you.
Happy to be with you. Bye.
John's you here on Talk Radio 1210. All right. I love that Supreme Court stuff. And Sammy Alito is my favorite. He's the only one that would come on. I can't imagine interviewing John Roberts. That would not go well. 855-839-1210. More calls coming up.
This is Talk Radio 1210. WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
All right, great stuff from John Yu. Unbelievable guest this year. We'll see if he comes in studio. In addition to that, coming up, Henry's guy, EJ Antoni. Kind of a look back, a look forward. Big, beautiful bill and all that stuff. Best economist we can bring you. He'll be here at around 2 o'clock. Let's go to the Earl of Tacony on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Earl, welcome in. What do you have today?
Well, since there's no money involved today, two things. One, Marie Antoinette, she's always misquoted whenever they say, let them eat cake.
Okay.
Cake is an archaic term. It doesn't refer to the sweet treat that you get for your birthday or anything like that. The French are known for their bread. And every time they start the ovens first thing in the morning, the ovens have to be primed. You can't just take a lump of dough and throw it into the oven because it'll stick to the bottom of the oven. So what they would do is they would mix flour and water, like unleavened bread, and they would put that in the oven first to prime the oven so that nothing would stick. Well, since it's unleavened dough, they would just throw it out. That unleavened dough is called cake. It is the waste product of the baking industry. So when she said if they can't afford French bread, let them eat cake, which is the garbage that the bakers would throw out.
Yep.
So it kind of affects the whole social dynamic slightly. But the fact that she wasn't saying, you know, let them eat sweet treats. No, she's basically saying let them eat garbage.
Makes it even worse when you're called a Marie Antoinette. Absolutely.
But in reference to Marie Antoinette, my answer is the French town of French Asylum. In 1793, during the height of the French Revolution and the riots in Haiti, the slave riots in Haiti, a bunch of French aristocrats and even Stephen Girard and the state controller, John Nicholson, went and put money together and bought 6 square kilometers in Bradford County, Pennsylvania, and built a small town for the French refugees called French Asylum. They built a town, they had houses, they had a road set up and everything, and a bunch of the French that thought that they were going to be killed by the uprisings moved into that town. And the basic theory is that eventually Marie Antoinette and her son were going to make it to that town and seek asylum there. However, they were captured and killed before they had a chance. When Napoleon took over in 1799 and all the revolutions were quelled, everyone figured, well, why am I out here in the middle of the woods? They all went back to French society. And by 1803, the town no longer existed. It's now a tourist attraction. But the town no longer exists.
Nicely played, Earl. You still have the touch in 2025 going into 2026. All right. Side question today. Something associated with the French. No prize this week. A prizeless week. We'll pick up again, I think, on January 5th with the normal. This coming off the passing of Brigitte Bardot. Okay. Coming up, I just saw this. We have Henry's guy, Henry's economist, EJ Antoni. And a lot of interesting stuff that's going to happen, really, January 2nd or January 1st. But this guy that writes for Politico, says, you know, this guy Nick Shirley, what about stand your ground laws? You knock on that door asking the Somalis about who's in that daycare. He goes, in Florida and other places, maybe Minnesota, you could be shot. They can't, they cannot go crazy enough. Already today, we've talked about several ways the left, progressives, are trying to attack this guy, Nick Shirley, saying he didn't discover $110 million. That's been out there. Also, he's a white supremacist. That's Walls and all the people doing this art. Now, this guy, Gerstein, says, well, he could be shot. You can't be knocking on doors like that. Now, the stand your ground laws don't say anything like that. Can you imagine? They can't give it up that this is going on. It's gotten over 100 million views, and the American people want people to go to jail around this, and one party and one group of media are trying to stop that. More on that in the 2 o'clock hour coming up with Dom.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.